Hey Potters, welcome to episode 166 of Cosplay, the podcast for all things cosplay. Hopefully everybody has been having a fantastic convention season. We are almost in May by the time we're recording this. We've already been through several conventions. I've seen pictures everywhere. Everybody is just going completely insane working on cosplay. And that's actually pretty normal about this time of year.
Right? This is the season. I mean,
this is kind of the crunch time with all the bigger conventions that are coming up basically between the months of April and I'd say September and BlizzCon. Because I don't know if that falls in September or October.
November.
Okay. So basically it's April to September plus BlizzCon. But all of the largely attended conventions tend to be in that main block during the year. So hopefully everybody's cosplay work is going well. I know that we've both definitely been working on projects of our own. So if you would like to start, I see you have something on the dress form behind you.
I know. I have things. I've been productive. Huzzah! Ooh. Yay! So it's this mess behind here. This is actually part of the mock-up that I'm working on. And obviously there's some pins in it because I've got to do a little bit of tucking. But this is for my Snow White garment. The other week, I was in the process of continuing my beading bonanza for my Game of Thrones costume. Pulled out the costume, was laying the beads on top of it, like, okay, how much do I have left? Thought I was almost done. And then I went, well, shoot, I still have like 3 more panels I gotta make. So I'm not quite done with that yet. And I was like, I need to take a mental break from the beading before I go insane and start working on something else. So I kind of went into patterning mode and I can show you guys a little bit of what I've been working on. So let me go flip over, boop, boop. Yay, okay. But yeah, I've just been kind of patterning, working on the other costumes that I want to get done this year. And this is part of the Snow White thing. You can see the really horrible flowers that I made on the bottom. They just kind of give me an idea of where things are supposed to go and how it's all supposed to fit together. And then this is going to be the top for my Etta costume. She's from Final Fantasy XIV. This one's really funky and I'm actually thinking about remaking this because it half worked and half didn't work. I need to make a pretty full petticoat on the bottom that's going to be kind of chunky. And it sits fairly high. Like it goes like midsection of my rib cage. So I kind of have to go through and rework it. But the back came out kind of nice. And then more of the Snow White pieces. And then there's a close-up of the madness that I've been working on.
I like that everything is diligently labeled.
With pen. You'll be happy to know that it was with pen.
I didn't care about that. I just looked to see that every single piece, so that even if you were to cut it all apart, you'd still know exactly what they belong to.
Exactly. And that's also why I have photos of it, too, and why I have some to share with you guys, is just in case if I have a brain fart and I'm like, what goes with what? I have a photo of it, so I know exactly, like, okay, done. Yeah, I do that with every single one of my pattern pieces. And if I end up making like 4 or 5 different versions of a pattern, because I did this with my first Blake costume, I had like 3 versions of her top because it was taking me forever to figure that stupid thing out before I decided to go with spandex and everything was better. So with each one of those patterns, I actually numbered the patterns too. So I knew exactly which went with what, so I didn't accidentally cross the streams. It's a common issue. So yeah. There we go. I've been working on this. And then today I decided to start working on Cersei's belt, which is all kinds of chainmail. I'm teaching myself how to chainmail. It started out so good and then it went to crap real fast. So I got to rework this.
It doesn't hold itself up well, depending on the weave that you use, because it lacks a structure to hold it in place unless you have enough rings to do it. Byzantine is one of those that will hold itself in place because it has an internal structure. It has a logic.
Oh yeah.
But if you're just doing standard European weave,
I am.
Then there's no structure to hold it together. What I usually end up doing if I have to weave European style is I will get foam or something similar and I will either tie a string or a chain to the support rings, the base, and I will tape them or pin them down so that it holds it. And then I will weave with the force of gravity going down so that the structure has to hold itself together. So it just kind of pulls itself taut. Otherwise, I weave Byzantine the same way, but I end up like putting a ring around a bottle or something and I weave going down. That's the only way I can weave chainmail. Otherwise, it falls apart in my hand.
Okay, I'll have to try that then, because this one is I went with aluminum rings because I know I needed something lightweight. I'm a wuss.
Later.
Yeah, I'm a wuss about this stuff. So I fully admit that, yeah, I needed to not go with the real thing. This is the one part of the costume that will not be real.
Aluminum is better.
Yeah, exactly. And it's the right color, the right grade. Like, I got everything I needed. I've just never worked with chainmail before, so I'm going through all of my tutorials and learning how to do it. And it is the 4-in-1 European weave. That's exactly what her belt is. So yeah, that's it.
All right.
That excuse.
I will say chainmail is great for making jewelry.
Very much so.
If you ever have to make jewelry or closures for things, like wallet chains, it's really quick and easy just to whip through a really fast chain. Good stuff. So, here are my piles of progress. Yin and yang, ebony and ivory.
Nice. Yeah.
I always have piles of fabric as my progress. I'm working with textiles mostly right now because this is the Zelda underdress, which unfortunately life happened. And as you can probably hear, I ended up getting sick for the last 5 days and I'm just now getting well. So I've kind of been puttering around, not doing much except hand sewing. And I ended up going through my fabric and finding that the Zelda dress is much wider at the bottom than my chemise was. So I could not cut all of my pieces out of the fabric I had using the cuts that I had. Because of course, if you have not worked with fabric that has a nap or that has a particular stretch, you have to lay your pieces on the raw fabric in a certain direction. You can't just lay it any way that you want to, because otherwise it doesn't fit around the body properly. The stretch is in the wrong direction or the pattern's in the wrong direction. And so I had to lay everything in one particular direction, which means that I ended up basically wasting a lot more fabric than if I could have just, you know, stuck it all on there as efficiently as possible. And crepe, unfortunately, is one of those that has stretch in only one direction. It's on the bias. So I had to pattern my pieces. So basically, I had to stop. TLDR, I had to stop on this project because I ran out of fabric. And I had to wait until I had enough money to go and get more. Because sometimes, kids, you have to be responsible and pay your bills first rather than buying cosplay fabric as much as I want to. So I just got the new fabric in today. Sad Panda is me because it is not the same dye lot. Unfortunately, I had no choice, because if I wanted the same texture and type of fabric, I had to go with what they had. So I got as absolutely humanly close as I could. Sharp eyes will still be able to tell it's a different dye lot. If I tell you this and you look at it, yes, you can tell it's a different dye lot. But otherwise, it's as good as it's going to get. I'm not going to cry over it, you know? So hopefully I can... I was only missing two pieces, so now I can hopefully cut out those two pieces and stitch them together so that I can finally get this thing sewn together and done, because I would like to go outside now that it's actually nice outside and start spray painting my armor. Of course, now that I've said that, it's going to pour buckets of rain, I'm sure, the next time I have free time to go outside and spray paint.
You jinxed us. Good job, Amber.
I didn't even wash my car yet. That day is coming. And this little guy, since I ended up having to stop on Zelda, I was like, okay, well, I need something else to work on that isn't a huge, massive undertaking, because otherwise I'm going to get involved in that and I can't stop and go back. So I ended up finding a bunch of spare fabric. If you guys have seen my Elven Ranger costume, it's green velveteen. And I ended up finding a bag full of spare. And I promised myself this year I was going to use up a lot of my spare fabrics. So I was like, okay, what can I do with this? And Firefly Path recently came out with a costume for herself, not one for a client. She was going to a Renaissance festival and decided to level up her costume. She made an elven rogue, and I saw it and fell in love with it. And I'm like, I'm making one for myself. So I'm basically taking apart my Elven Ranger costume, which I've been aching to do for a while anyway, because my skills have gotten better since when I made that. So I am now working on the hood portion, because I'm going to have a hooded bolero over a corset and a skirt, which those of you who know me know that I absolutely abhor dresses. I hate wearing them. I do not like them. at all. I want pants. However,
pants with pockets. Let's clarify, pants yes. with pockets.
Well, I will suffer through pants without pockets because they are still superior to skirts and dresses. But yes, with pockets is definitely preferable. So I ended up looking in my stash and I actually had this guy, which has a full circle skirt that actually goes down to about a dollar bill's height above the knee. So I was like, okay, that's reasonably modest. I can live with this because basically what I wanted to do, since my Sky Sorceress is for colder days outside because it's a full long sleeve bolero and has pants and multiple layers. It's like, okay, I need something for spring and summer. Okay, well, skirt it is. Can do. So I actually finished stitching together. I had just enough fabric to cut out all the pieces I needed in the right direction. Just enough. So I have already basted the skirt portion together. I just need to start machine stitching. And I am now basting the hood together. And then I will start on the other pieces. So I'm slowly, finally using up the mass cabinet, which you cannot see in this shot, but it is directly across from me. The giant cabinet full of spare fabric that I have that I need to get rid of desperately before I get more. I felt so bad getting more for Zelda, but it's like, you know what? I don't have enough fabric here to cut my pieces. I have to have a little bit of extra width so that it will actually fit. So I only got 2 yards. So I hope that's enough because I didn't want to get any more excess fabric than I absolutely need. Because I still have excess pieces of fabric from my chemise. They're just too short for me to cut additional pieces out of. So I have no idea what I'm going to do with them. Make an undershirt or something. I don't know.
You'll figure it out.
I'll figure out something to do with it. But that's basically what I've been working on. And I will probably still have to run them through the washing machine with soap because I've been sick and working on them. Go figure.
All right. So your giant stash of fabric, is it in those cardboard boxes?
Yes.
Okay. So we can see it.
And on top of them.
Yeah, we can see it.
Right there. Well, see, you can't see all of it. You only see half of it.
Yeah, only half of it. There's the other half below.
The other half is below the mirror, which you can't see. Yes, I have plenty of spare fabric that they have projects associated with them. I just haven't done the projects yet.
I'm kind of glad that I purged and got rid of most of mine because it was taking up way too much space. And I got to the point where I was like, I am never going to use this. So please, friends, take it from me. Be awesome if you did.
I feel so bad because the lining fabric I'm using for the Rogue is black jersey, which is not the kind of fabric you should be using for it. But it's like, you know what? I'm on a serious budget at this point because of the other unexpected expenses that I acquired. And so I just have to use up what I have, even though it's not the right fabric. So, you know, I just have to kind of deal for right now. Paying bills is a little more important at the moment. I have to be an adult.
And here Val spent like $75 worth of fabric on her birthday. potato, potato.
Well, birthdays are different.
I spent my money on fabric. Happy birthday to me.
It was for a good cause.
Sure. We'll just keep telling ourselves that.
Isn't that what we always tell ourselves when we buy fabric?
Pretty much, yeah. Anything cosplay related, it kind of comes down to that.
Uh-huh. The more you know.
I need to keep remembering that every time you do that, I got to put the rainbow on.
Yes, you have to put the rainbow, whatever they call the upper third.
Oh, goodness.
All right. It's Friday. It is Friday. Happy freaking Friday, everybody.
Thank goodness.
At least when we're recording this.
Right.
All right, so let's get to our news story for this episode, because of course it is cosplay season and it's drama season. When isn't it drama season? Cosplay and drama just seem to go together like peanut butter and chocolate.
I don't really like peanut butter and chocolate, so that's just, no.
Not everybody likes peanut butter and jelly either, so, you know.
That's true.
pick your two things of choice to go together.
That go with peanut butter. Peanut butter, Nutella, or whatever the heck you like.
Sure. Still never had Nutella.
I've never been a fan of it. I don't understand the appeal, but that's just me.
All right. So Polygon had an article recently within the last week about Universal FanCon.
And if you've been on Twitter and you are friends with anybody in the United States that goes to conventions, you probably saw the hashtag and you probably saw the madness that came with it. I think I just chose the Polygon one because it was probably the most straightforward and it didn't really like overlap with a bunch of hearsay. It was pretty much like on point with facts because there's a lot of stuff going down with this convention.
And it's one of those conventions that was kickstarted. And unfortunately, or fortunately, depending on how you look at it, that has become more and more common nowadays as conventions basically are eschewing venture capital. They're basically getting away from sponsorships and trying to seed money directly from the people who would go. So this was one of those conventions. This was one of those conventions that was kickstarted successfully, I might add.
Yeah, they got double what they were initially trying to pull. And I don't know if they already had funding that was backing them or if this was all that they were going to spend on the event. In which case, way too low.
I'm not sure if the people running it had any idea how much money it takes. Like if they'd run conventions themselves before, if they'd worked for other conventions on staff to see the books, as it were. Because the fundraiser, this is from the article, the idea began in December 2016 with a fundraiser seeking $25,000. For those who have been to any size convention, including the ones that are only 500 people, $25,000 is pocket change.
That will get you next to nothing.
That will get you bare basics. Like it might get you the hotel. That's really honestly about it nowadays. It might get you the hotel.
And Universal FanCon was trying to do a 3-day convention at like a large convention center. Like they were dumping money into this. I mean, they were also getting some decently sized guests who are on current CW shows as well as like Billy Dee Williams. So, I mean, it was enough money had to be put into it to bring those type of guests in, needless to say.
And we do want to note that they actually ended up raising over $56,000. So they still had, you know, quite a seed fund. The problem, though, is that, one, they wanted to book a convention center. So not only are they paying lodging costs at a hotel, but they're also having to rent rooms at a convention center, which it's never inexpensive when you rent from anything whose name contains convention center.
Mm-hmm.
But they also note that the money went towards initial marketing and convention operations. For those who have not worked in marketing or operations, which I know you can speak to both, I can at least speak to operations. Those are not inexpensive activities, especially if you're just starting out for the convention and you need to get your name out there and you need to get staff on the ground to make sure that your convention actually runs.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to overstate how important it is to have the core staff that you need in advance, make sure that everybody's trained and to make sure that everything is structured enough that basically things can run on their own. And then, of course, the whole marketing bit, getting your name out there with various forms of media, which can be more or less expensive depending on how you do it. And also going out to multiple markets. This wasn't necessarily meant to be a local con. This was meant to be a national convention, which means national media and national markets. It's much cheaper if you're advertising locally than if you have to like get your name out on major radio stations, TV networks, the internet, and to go into other markets that are across the country, quite frankly.
Yeah, in this case, the draw for this convention was their focus was on POC, people of color, as well as the LGBTQ community. Mm-hmm. And they had some international attention too. There were people who were saying that they were flying in from Europe and Asia just to be here and to attend this thing. Mm-hmm. The long and short of it is that the convention canceled themselves a week out. Like, the convention's supposed to be starting today, and they canceled it last Friday. And even better was that they didn't really notify anybody professionally. What happened was the hotel started canceling reservations of all the people who were supposed to come. And then, of course, people started immediately messaging FanCon going like, what's going on? Why is my hotel being canceled? I'm not getting any answers. A couple days later, they posted, you know, hey, this is what's going on. We thought we could handle this, but we really can't. We're going to push it back to another date. Make matters even worse that they're not offering refunds for anything. They're basically saying you can use your membership for this year to whenever FanCon's going to be held in the future. People who paid for tables at Artist Alley or for Dealer's Room, they're not getting refunded. A number of people actually didn't receive any notice that the convention was canceled until like Wednesday of this week. Like, they were expected to table there and they got the cancellation notice 2 days ago.
And that's the one from the convention. Apparently, some of them were able to learn of it a little more quickly through Twitter, through Facebook, through friends, basically, who learned about it before the vendors and dealers did, which is a little bit scary if you think about it. If that's part of how you make a living is vending at cons, and all of a sudden you're effectively being told that not only have they not made plans to refund the money that you paid for the table, but you're also not going to be making any money at the con. So you've now like doubly lost money.
Particularly if you're traveling, if you're having to travel with plane, most airlines, you cannot get a refund on those tickets. And a number of airlines are sticking their feet in the ground saying, nope, cannot do it. So that's money that you've lost. It's out the window. You're not getting it back.
And likewise with the hotels, if you don't cancel a certain number of days in advance, they start charging you a non-refundable fee on your credit card, which you have to pay.
It's messy. It's very, very messy.
So needless to say, it's a good thing that they basically said, we screwed up. Their statement basically says, we screwed up. We underestimated this. And I'm being very politically correct when I say this. I give them credit for at least saying that much. They admitted, you know, it's our fault. We're going to do what we can to fix it. However, this would be one of those times when, you know, spending that money on the marketing team would be really well spent if they had a PR team that could handle this.
Maybe not wait until a week before the convention to decide, hey, we're not going to be able to put this together. Because usually a month out, you have a very good idea of whether or not it's going to work.
More than a month out.
Yeah. I mean, at that point, because they waited so late, so many people cannot cancel. So many people cannot get refunds. And thankfully, the city around them is offering some options for the people who are kind of got put out by Universal FanCon. One convention for today offered free badges for Friday and then half price badges for Sunday, which is really nice. There's a couple of pop-up conventions in the area going on that Saturday too. So that'll be nice. And even some of the guests and the vendors who were supposed to be there have been given table opportunities around the city. So everybody's pitching in to help out because they realize, hey, the fan community kind of got screwed. We need to do what we can to help out.
And the city doesn't want to lose on that income either, because when conventions come to town, it can be several million dollars worth of additional profit for a city. And that can really help, especially if tourism is one of your primary draws for your city, which Baltimore is a tourist city, among other things. So this really helps them out. But what I would say, as somebody who has actually helped work for a convention that started from the ground up, if you're going to fundraise from the community, whether it's Kickstarter or whatever other service that you choose to use, make sure that you have a very good idea of how much money that you think you need and then fundraise more than that. Which I know that they did here, but I think they really kind of messed themselves up by lowballing it at 25,000.
They definitely underestimated.
They exceeded their goal, sure, but their goal was way undershooting what I honestly think that they needed. And since their note basically said, well, the support we were anticipating in terms of ticket sales and sponsorships didn't materialize, well, it's probably because anybody who has had any experience with conventions or funding them before noticed that you guys were woefully underfunded and didn't seem to have a plan for how to fix that. And that is why they do not wish to risk their money. So my advice, you know, as perhaps ignorant and inexperienced as it is, would be, if you're going to go looking for sponsors, make sure that you have a very firm plan that you can show them to go, look, I'm competent. I am worthy of your investment. And here is how we're going to make a return on that investment. And you can generally get that information by talking to other people who have a lot of experience running conventions. And there are companies that just do that, that just run conventions. You can always, you know, ask for consultants.
Yeah, I think at this point, it's just unfortunate that it started out as a good idea with good intentions, but it ended up just completely falling apart. And there really isn't any way to know who's to blame, because they still haven't posted any updates to their Kickstarter page. And at this point, too, because of Kickstarter's rules, they're not entitled to give anybody a refund if they don't want to. They can keep that money. So you can file a dispute with Kickstarter. It probably is not going to help any, unfortunately. And because it was so long ago since it was funded, your credit card's not going to give you a refund either. So
no, you're pretty much past the point of liability.
You're out.
Unfortunately, crowdfunding does come with a little bit of risk in that certain platforms have it in their terms of service that if you give money, you are basically entrusting them to give you something in return, but that they are not obligated to do so. There are other platforms where basically if said product or service does not materialize, then yes, they have to refund your money. And it's basically held in a sort of trust account. It's not given to that entity until things are actually, you know, provided, saying, hey, look, I said I was going to make a thing. Here's the thing. Not every platform does that. So read the fine print, kids. It's more of a sad situation than anything. We're not necessarily trying to bash on Universal FanCon. It's more of a cautionary tale. It's like Aesop's fables. Learn from the mistakes of others.
It feels like every single week there's something new about a convention that has gone screwy or something has messed up. I feel like we just need to have a folder on our website that's all about that and just dump the news there, because it's not getting any better.
Our new feature of the week is basically going to be, what convention has failed now?
Right? Oh my goodness.
It's really sad. It not only does it make the convention entity, the company behind it, look bad, but it frustrates the nerd community, because when you see it that many times, you just get jaded and you get afraid of giving any money to any sort of startup like that. And it's like, well, it's a first year convention. Should I bother giving them my money, or should I just ghost it? And ghosting it actually can make it go down, go under even faster. Hint, hint, nudge, nudge, wink, wink, kids. All right. So that was that. And honestly, that is all I have in terms of news for this week. Do we have anything else for this episode?
That's it for this episode. We're done.
Awesome. Well, we're going to bring a close to this episode 166 of Cosplay the Podcast, where all things cosplay. If you guys have any comments, questions, concerns, constructive criticism, suggestions, things that you want us to cover on the show, you can, of course, contact us at any of our multitudes of social media here. And you can also join us now on our Discord. And we actually just had a new member recently join. And we, of course, say welcome. Thank you for joining the group. We have started a very good conversation, actually, fairly recently about the bar being set perhaps too high in cosplay recently.
So, or me. lamenting about my really bad chainmail skills.
So feel free to come join us in the multitude of channels that we have in our Discord. And of course, you can always email us, podcast@cospod.org, as always. Other than that, we will wish you guys happy cosplaying. We hope everything is going wonderfully for you guys. If you are at a convention, we hope you have a lovely time. Send us pictures, send us links, as long as they are family friendly, of course. Otherwise, we will see you guys next episode in 167. Happy cosplaying, everybody.
Hi, everybody.